entertainers in the building.
Greetings, 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 everyone. Greetings and welcome to the Stamp of Approval podcast. This is episode 8. I am Bobby Stamps, your host, and I'd like to thank you for taking time out of your day to spend it with me and listen to the podcast. I realize you have a lot of choices, and the fact that you have chosen to spend 30 or 40 minutes of your day with me and listen to my podcast is something I'm grateful for, and I appreciate very much. Also appreciate everybody helping to spread the word about the podcast. It's growing. The numbers are great. And I have people, you know, almost on a weekly basis that I don't know or that I'm not familiar with, or maybe that we share mutual friends with, reach out and tell me that, you know, they enjoy it, or they, you know, agreed with something I said, or they thought this was funny or something. And that's all word of mouth. And again, I really appreciate everybody for helping to spread the word on it. And hopefully I'm going to keep them coming, and I hope to, you know, to stay interesting and to stay a podcast that you want to listen to. So, yeah, man, we're going to keep it going. Want to give a big thanks also to Pickers Vodka, Davidson's Reserve, Tennessee Whiskey. They are, as you know, my sponsors, and want to ask you to support them when you get a chance. If you're looking for a good bottle of vodka this season, or a bottle of whiskey, bourbon whiskey, give it a shot. You won't be disappointed. Trust me on that. Also, I want to thank B Hyphen of the Hyphen Podcast Group. He is the producer. He's the man that is, he's the reason I can talk into this microphone and you can hear it through your ear pods or your speakers. He gets it up on iTunes and on Spotify and the other formats. And I want to really thank B Hyphen. Without him, it would not be possible. And ask you also to check out his podcast group. He has a lot of podcasters that he helps and that he produces. Hyphen Podcast Group is the name of his collective. And when you have a second, go by there, listen, look at who they've got on there, and see if there's somebody that has some podcasts that may interest you. I think you will find some that do. They touch on many, many, many topics over there. A lot of really talented people. So support those guys if you get an opportunity. Wanted to come this week with the kind of a Thanksgiving special, I guess you could call this. This week, you know, it's kind of a different week. Some people hadn't worked at all. Some people have worked half a week. You know, some people are traveling. You know, but I did want to get an episode in as we are. This weekend is the last regular season, major regular season of the major conferences. I know some of the other conferences have another week, maybe that don't do a conference championship game. Obviously, we have the Army-Navy game coming up. But for the most part, in the major conferences, this weekend is it. Big games coming up, big rivalry weekend coming up. We'll get into that. Going to obviously touch on the playoff debate. That's everywhere. Everybody has an opinion on that. I'll give you mine. We'll discuss that. Touch a look. College basketball has begun. Fun time in college basketball. A lot of the tournaments going on overseas, or not overseas. Well, Hawaii, I guess, is overseas. But, tournaments all over the country, all over, you know, where get a bunch of the big programs together and they play. And there's some upsets this time of year. Some surprises. Some, you know, like Duke last night, no tournament. They just were playing in Cameron Indoor against Stephen F. Austin and lost. Huge upset. So we'll touch a little bit on that, but what I wanted to lead off with for this episode is something that we touched on last week, and as expected, it really, really, really got a lot of feedback and got a lot of people talking. I had people hit me up that agreed, that disagreed, that partly agreed on my take on the Colin Kaepernick situation and the workout, I guess you could call it. What the NFL's true intentions were, what Colin's true intentions were, spurred on a lot of conversation. And, you know, I just can't help but to kind of finish that up. And you know, we've learned some things since the last podcast. We've learned some things since his workout, right? And it makes me think something, you know, a thing my wife always tells me when I give my opinion on a lot of things, and especially if something that she may not agree with. she'll say, "You always think you're right." When I, you know, I'm just very clear and precise in what I'm saying, right? I mean, if I believe something, I vocalize it, and that's my thought. That's what I think. Okay. And my wife tells me I always think I'm right, but usually time will prove that I am right. You know, I'm just a person that believes that you have to, you know, read a situation, read a person, and it's not really reading, right? It's like I'm thinking of when I'm playing poker. A lot of people, you've heard at the poker table, or you've heard people say about poker, you got to read your opponent. And I play a lot of poker. As those of you that know me know, I do play a lot of poker. I go to Vegas and play the World Series of Poker. I go up to Cherokee when the circuit comes to town, or at least I try to. I play local games with friends. So I like to play poker. I play a lot of poker, but I don't think you read your opponent. I think that your opponent will. People are animals, okay? This, again, don't, you know, we're go back a million billion years, whatever it is. Human beings are animals. We, you know, are the most successful animal to walk the face of the earth. But we're still animals, and we have animal instincts, okay? So you can tell when somebody's scared. And that fear may be they're legitimately scared they're going to die, they're going to get hurt. They're scared that somebody's going to steal something from them, maybe their food. Or they could be scared that somebody is going to find out that they're lying, right? And I think that if you sit back and you're able to gauge someone's true feeling, like they're going to put out that energy. If you can feel that energy, then you can better navigate your daily life. And with the Colin Kaepernick thing, from a distance, I said, this just does not feel right to me. I mean, let's think about it. Here we are. We're going into week 11 of the NFL, 11 or 12. 3 years after he's played, he's sued the NFL. He's been on the forefront of his movement. And all of a sudden on a Saturday in Atlanta, Georgia, they're going to hold a workout. Now, the Saturday, we talked about this last week, was odd to begin with. And then we hear Nike's involved. And then we hear Jay-Z, had something to do with facilitating it. And, you know, you start adding all these things up. And then the day of the workout comes, and 30 minutes before, he moves the workout 58 miles away to a high school. It just didn't feel right, did it? You know, but his people are saying, oh, the NFL, you know, they're trying to do him wrong. He's not going to let him do him wrong. And, you know, the people on the other side that are on the NFL side says, well, see, he's not serious. He can't change the venue. He can't change the job interview. Nobody can get there. And it's everybody's talking. But who's winning? Colin's winning. Nike's winning. And then it comes out, one of the reasons he says he left was that the NFL would not let him bring a film crew in. As we mentioned last week, there was a Nike film crew there to do what? To film a commercial. And then this week it comes out that in December, which is just a few days away, they are going to be releasing, they as in Nike, are going to be releasing the Colin Kaepernick shoe. And the truth comes out. And as I said last week, that was what the workout was about. It was something more than him trying to get a job. There was an agenda there. Now we know the agenda was to put eyeballs on Colin, to get people talking about Colin and his movement, and to sell Nike shoes now. And as I said last week, I don't think Colin wants to play football. I think he wants to be a martyr. He wants to be the face of a movement. He wants to go down in history. Now, will he go down in history? I don't know. But that's what he wants to do. And as I said last week, he's getting more money not to play football than he would if he was playing football. And people, some of you guys disagree with me, didn't you? I got you. I saw the texts and the emails. I saw the Facebook messages. And the unfortunate thing is, you know, Collins' movement, what he is wanting to bring attention to and what he's wanting to bring change to is a very real concern. But I think now, knowing what we know, if you want to support that movement, then great, awesome. It's a real thing. It's a real problem. But don't support the Colin Kaepernick personal movement. Don't support the Nike movement. Because that right now, they're using you, they're using your emotion to sell shoes and to bring eyeballs to Colin and to Nike. That's my personal view on it. And again, what we said last week, what I said last week was correct. There was another, there was more there than meets the eye. It was much more than just trying to work out. And now the truth has come out. So enough of that. And I know some of you actually said, hey, let's stay to just talking light sports. You know, don't get into the political thing. We hear enough of that everywhere. And I agree, but I do want to touch on things that are sports related that are all over. When you turn on, you know, one of the sports shows that you watch, and that's what it is. You know, we need to kind of touch on that a little bit, but let's keep it moving. Let's keep it going with sports now. Rivalry weekend coming up in college football, or the last weekend of the regular season, which typically to a lot of schools does mean rivalry weekend. Down south, we've got the big Iron Bowl matchup, Auburn, Alabama. Up in, I think they're playing in Michigan this year, is Ohio State in Michigan. Georgia and Georgia Tech play in Atlanta. Clemson and South Carolina playing. Who cares? No, I'm just playing, guys. I know there's a lot of Clemson and South Carolina guys listening, but I think, quite frankly, tell the truth, do you guys care? You know who's going to win, and it's going to be ugly, right? So, you know, just like Georgia and Tech, I'd say who cares, okay? Here we go. The game I think is going to be interesting is LSU and Texas A&M. As I'm recording this, it's Thanksgiving Eve. It's Wednesday night. And depending on when you listen to this, I may sound like a real idiot for saying that, but I think LSU and Texas A&M will be a much better game than people think. I think that Texas A&M will play LSU close. I think their defense is a little better than LSU is used to seeing. And LSU's defense is not very good. So I think Texas A&M is going to be a little salty after – you know, I'm not going to say Georgia handled them last week because it was a much, much, much closer game on the scoreboard than it was on the field as Georgia held Texas A&M to -1 yards rushing. But I think A&M is going to show up, and I think they're going to fight LSU. I think that's going to be a good one. Another shocker. Again, when you hear this, I don't know. I may sound like an idiot if you listen to it Saturday night or Sunday or further on. I think Auburn is going to beat Alabama. I said, I don't know what it was, game 2, 3, whatever, that Alabama's defense is a weakness or has a lot of weakness. It's a weak spot, weak link for the team, that linebacker especially, their defensive front 7. Auburn's offense is not very good. They're, you know, by the numbers, they're just average. But Auburn's defense, especially the front 7, is really, really nasty. Mac Jones is coming in, trying to play quarterback, trying to have his first, or his, I don't know, second or third, whatever it is, start in Jordan-Hare against that defense. I like Auburn to win the football game. I really do. I think that they're going to heat up Mac Jones. You know, Western Carolina is one thing. Derrick Brown, Marlon Davidson, and crew are a completely different set of rules, buddy. And that Alabama offensive line will not be able to protect him. They have great receivers, but I don't know if they can get open in a second and a half. And I think this is going to be a tight ball game that I think Auburn wins. Ohio State, Michigan. I think that's going to be tight. You know, I think Michigan is going to be the only team this year, including Penn State, that has similar athletes to Ohio State. You know, Michigan and Jim Harbaugh have recruited very well. They have a lot of NFL caliber players on that team. Ohio State, on the other hand, they hadn't seen much all year. Okay. They just haven't. We'll get into a little later on what Ohio State has seen. But Ohio State has not been tested. I don't want to hear Penn State. They have not been tested. They hadn't played much. No doubt they're a really wonderful team, but I don't think they've seen anything that's challenged them. I think Michigan could give them a challenge. I really do. Georgia, Georgia Tech, same boat as Clemson, South Carolina. Who cares? It's just not the year for Georgia Tech. Georgia will handle them and handle them with ease. I think Clemson and Georgia will both win by 30-plus. And just, you know, I think in the third quarter, the focal point for Georgia and Clemson will be, let's get healthy. Let's stay healthy to until next week, conference championship time. And leading into conference championships, which will then lead into the playoff. So the playoff has, you know, people are complaining about the playoff. People think that it should be eight teams. They think this team should be over this team. The four teams is fine, but it should be only conference champions. Well, how can you have two from one conference? You know, but what are we doing? We're talking about it, right? We're talking about NCAA football. And that is what they want us to do, is talk about NCAA football. They don't necessarily care if they get the best teams or they don't care. They want you talking about it. Go back to Colin Kaepernick and Nike. They want you talking about it. They want you retweeting it. They want you to talk about it on social media. They want you to call Sports Talk. They want us to talk about it, right? And that's what we're doing. So as it is now, you have Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, Georgia, Alabama. The top four, I obviously, quote unquote, control their own destiny. As we know, you can't control your destiny, but you get what I'm saying. LSU, Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia win, they're in. Obviously, LSU and Georgia both can't win. Georgia beats LSU. LSU is probably, now assuming we win, assuming everybody wins this weekend. Okay, I'm assuming that Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, LSU, and I'll even though I said I think Auburn's going to win, I'll assume that Alabama will win this weekend, and I'll assume Oklahoma and I'll assume Utah all win out. Georgia wins out, they're in, as are obviously Clemson and Ohio State and LSU. Now, Georgia beats LSU is when it becomes dicey, or if Ohio State is upset by Michigan, I don't know who would beat Clemson. Clemson's not losing. Okay. Georgia beats LSU, they're in. Now then, is LSU still in as a one-loss, fairly dominant SEC runner-up, SEC Western Division champion with a lot of quality wins, even though the win over Texas early is looking worse by the week every week, okay? Who does the debate become? It becomes LSU or Alabama. Well, how are you going to put Alabama in over LSU? Right? LSU had to go play a conference championship game against a top five team while Alabama sat home because they were beaten by LSU. So I don't think you put Alabama in over LSU. Oklahoma, Utah. Once again, you're not putting those guys in over LSU. If Georgia beats LSU, I hate to tell it to people, you've got two SEC teams in the Final Four. Clemson's in, they're not losing. Ohio State loses, it's kind of a different ballgame. Ohio State will not get the same benefit of the doubt that LSU will because their body of work this season has not been as impressive. They've blown everybody out. They're averaging 50-plus. They're only averaging giving up 10 on defense. Well, let's look at who they've been playing. The average rank of total offense of teams at LSU that Ohio State, excuse me, has played, the average is 83. Now they're only 120 teams in Division I or FBS, whatever they call it now. The best offense Ohio State has played is Florida Atlantic at number 36. Florida Atlantic is the best offense Ohio State's played. Okay, so once again, they have not been tested at all. I would hope they have a good defense, as that's who they've played in. The average ranking is 83. On the flip side, LSU has played their average ranking is 63, right at an average bunch of teams. Obviously, LSU's played Alabama, didn't shut them down. LSU's allowed a lot of points to a lot of people. They've allowed a lot of points to Vanderbilt. They allowed 38. They scored 56 or whatever, but still, LSU's defense is not strong. They don't claim to be. We don't know. OSU claims to be, Ohio State that is, but we don't know. I mean, heck, let's look at Georgia. The best offense Georgia has played is Arkansas State by the rankings, by the numbers averaged, is Arkansas State, and they have the 47th ranked offense in Division I football. Followed by Notre Dame, who has the 52nd ranked offense, followed by Auburn at number 55, Texas A&M at number 57, Florida at number 60. So all those teams are right at what would be considered average, okay? Now, to Georgia's credit, they've shut down everybody. Arkansas State, the best offense they faced, they shut them out. Notre Dame scored 17 points. Auburn scored, 20 points, something like that. Or 17, whatever they scored, 14, I don't even remember, but it wasn't a lot. Texas A&M, same situation, what did they score, 13. Florida scored 17. So Georgia's defense, I think I can say it with enough confidence that Georgia's defense is for real. And they're getting better because they have a lot of freshmen that have played a lot of minutes. And by this time, 12 games in, they're not freshmen anymore. They're sophomores at that point. A lot of freshmen playing key minutes for Georgia's defense. They're pretty nasty. So I start thinking about the playoffs and how I think it shakes out. I think we're looking at the Final Four now. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm going to be a homer, yeah. But it just feels to me like Georgia is going to beat LSU in the SEC championship game, and LSU will make it in as the 3 seed. Georgia will be the 3 seed. LSU will be the 4 seed. Ohio State 1, Clemson 2, followed by Georgia, LSU. That's what I think is going to happen. And now, if you remember what I said earlier, it may have been episode 1 of Stamp of Approval. Or it may have been one of the Monster and the Man podcasts. I'm not sure. But I said, I think Clemson is down this year on the lines of scrimmage. And what I say, we won't know until we get to the playoffs because they won't be tested all year. They could be weaker on the line of scrimmage. We would not know that because they're not tested. Assuming this holds to form, we would absolutely know if I was right about Clemson's lines of scrimmage or if I was wrong, because they will be tested if they end up 2, Georgia ends up 3, and they play in one of the semifinals. I'm sticking to my guns. I think Clemson is down on the lines of scrimmage this year, and I think that will be the game that it becomes apparent. And I'm sure a lot of you disagree. Or not a lot of you. I'm sure I know I've got a couple of Clemson guys out there that, they've watched the team play all year and the lines look good. It's improved. But again, they haven't been tested against that Georgia defensive front, which is just nasty. They will be tested. The Clemson defensive line is supposed to be a strong point. I hope they're tested. It seems to me like the Georgia offensive line has not played up to their potential this year. They've played very well, but when you've got what we have been sold on as being, 8 or 10 NFL guys in that rotation, and that's no exaggeration, I think that there have been some moments that they did not play their best. The other semifinal, if that holds true, would be Ohio State LSU. I don't know. I would have to go with LSU in a matchup like that just because I know LSU is lined up across from and defeated and scored a lot of points on real quality NFL caliber players. I just don't know if Ohio State is lined up and beat real quality NFL players to this point. That's the beauty of college football is we have teams from all over the country that just don't play each other. They don't have a lot of common opponents. So the only thing we can do is speculate. How will Ohio State and LSU match up? How will Georgia and Clemson match up? The only common opponent, the common opponents are Texas A&M, and the common opponent will be South Carolina. Although you take what, you know, how Georgia looked against South Carolina, you would think Clemson will win by 35. But, you know, that's, you know, being in the same region, that's that at least gives you a little more of an accurate impression of how they will match up with each other. Whereas Ohio State, we just don't know. And LSU, we just don't know. And that's assuming it falls like that. If it's Ohio State and Georgia some way, or Clemson and Ohio State, you know, whatever it's going to work out to be. I think those are the four obvious. Now, if something crazy happens, then that takes us to Alabama, Oklahoma, Utah. Let's assume they all three win out. Georgia loses. So you've got LSU, Clemson, Ohio State, Bama, Oklahoma, Utah. Who are you picking? Oklahoma, the committee, rightfully so, sees right through Oklahoma this year. Oklahoma's not getting in at this point. Okay. Utah, I think, will be hurt playing on the West Coast. But once again, are you going to look at Utah and are you going to look at Alabama, a team that lost one game this year by 5 points to the number one team in the country, undefeated LSU? Or are you going to take Utah that played a Pac-12 schedule and lost a game to USC, 8-4 USC? You know, Alabama's going to get that nod all the time, guys. The only way that somebody else is getting in is if Auburn wins this Saturday. And as I told you, that's something that I would not be surprised if it happened at all. So either way, regardless, we've got a good good weekend of football this week. Then we're going to have a good weekend the next with the conference championships. And then we'll know who's in. We'll know what the playoffs schedule, who the four teams in are going to be. And then that'll be a whole different conversation. Moving on to college basketball. I know there's a few of you out there that are college basketball fans. Some big upsets already this year. I guess it was kind of an upset that Virginia Tech beat Michigan State. Michigan State, I think, was what, number three? Duke lost to Stephen F. Austin, which is now, as I'm recording it, it was last night at home. Kentucky lost early at home. I think it was to Evansville as a huge favorite. And it's like, you know, go back to what I said. You've got these big programs. Now, Michigan State isn't really one of them. Tom Izzo recruits. He keeps kids. He develops kids. And they typically stay in the program for a few years. Kentucky and Duke do not. Traditionally, one and done. Get the five best or what, four, five, six, whatever, best 18-year-old high school players. And you get them in there, and they're freakishly talented. And by the end of the year, you hope that they're playing well enough to make a run in the tournament. If not, they're first-round draft picks, free promotion for your program anyway. And, you know, you look at a team like a Dayton, for instance. You know, team ran through the Maui Classic. They're playing, as we speak, Kansas now for the championship of the Maui Classic. Big, strong, grown men. A lot of teams are following the Gonzaga mold. Recruit well, work out in the weight room, play together. By the time they're seniors, they're big and they're strong and they play as a unit. And when you go up against a bunch of 18-year-olds that are basically have been playing AAU ball their entire life, playing glorified all-star games, you know, it can get ugly. And that's where some of these surprises have happened. You know, Stephen F. Austin beating Duke last night. You know, I think that's the first game in, I don't know, 200 games that Duke's lost at home to an unranked opponent or something like that. But should we really be surprised? I mean, you know, basketball is a sport. You've got five guys on the court at all times. You can win. One player can make a difference in basketball. He really can. They can't do it in football, can't do it in baseball, but one player in basketball, and, you know, each program has 12 scholarships. You've got, you know, there are only so many basketball players to go around. You take a kid that has a growth spurt late, or maybe he had some type of injury, or maybe he had a grade issue or whatever. You know, these kids are going to end up at places like, you know, Seton Hall and Xavier and Creighton and places like that. Gonzaga, right? And that's what makes the NCAA tournament so good is, you know, each team can only have 12, and there are a lot of them. You put 64 teams in the tournament, A lot of good basketball players spread out. A few of these blue chips don't hit for, let's say, Duke or North Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas, whatever. You know, there's some of these other teams that are hardworking that are right there to fill that void. So, like I said, man, I wanted to come back with this Thanksgiving version, Thanksgiving episode. Really appreciate you for spending time on this one with me. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving. I hope you're having a great Thanksgiving, depending on when you listen to it, or I hope you had one. Want to stamp of approval. I have to do a stamp of approval now. You know, I'm going to do the stamp of approval, and I appreciate these people so much. I really do. I'm not a cook at all. I can't. I mean, I'm just not. Whether it's mama, grandmama, daddy, brother, sister, granddaddy, whoever, the person that spends days sometimes on the Thanksgiving meal, whoever that is in your family, I want to give them the stamp of approval. Give them the big piece of cake or the big piece of pie or, you know, something to show them you appreciate them, because I sure do. Because without those people, I'd be going out for my Thanksgiving lunch, because I can't. I've just never had any interest to cook, you know, pure and simple. I just haven't. If I have to cook it, I'll just go get something and it'll be it. It's just not one of the things I like to do. So, stamp of approval this week. I do want to give to everybody in your family and my family that's preparing my meal. My wife, Holly, she's already started. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to a good weekend with family and friends. And I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Let's check back next week. Be coming back with episode 9. We'll have a big recap of this weekend's games. Have a big, we'll be forecast or looking forward to the conference championship games. Again, just so it's out there, you know it. I am picking Auburn to beat Alabama. Okay. Picking that ATM, Texas A&M, to play LSU tight. I'm not picking them to win, but I think they will play them tight. I think Michigan will play Ohio State tight. So enjoy the games this weekend. Check back with me next week, episode 9. Thank you so much for joining me. Again, shout out. Thank you to my sponsors, Pickers Vodka, Davidson's Reserve, Tennessee Whiskey. Stop by and support them when you can. Support small business in America. That's the backbone of America. In the meantime, everybody, once again, have a great Thanksgiving, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Many a day has passed, the night has gone by, but still I find the time to put that bomb off in your eye. Total chaos, but it's playoffs, so we was absent. We're taking another route to represent the Dungeon family like Ray Day. Me and my decide to take the back way. We stabbing every city, then we headed to that back cave. ATL, Georgia, what do we do? Fall ya, bulldog it like them Georgetown Hawkins. Boy, you signed the silly thing. My room is sitting pretty, doing donuts. Why you suckers like them suckers around titties? Damn, we the committee, gonna burn it down. Hiya, Puddins. It's your girl, Holly Quinn, a.k.a. Dr. Harleen Quinzel, here to tell you all about It's Like a Podcast or whatever. We talk about nerd stuff and life stuff, and if you want to know what we're about, check out the Powie Awards, our 100th episode, Q and Slay, or Theater from Our Butts. Have a good day, Puddins, and love, trust, and belief.
Look, I don't have much time, all right? So let me just say something real quick. My name is EG, and I am the host of two shows that are part of the Hyphen Podcast Group. The first show is called Catch the Show. It's a show where I talk about music-related news and pop culture, upcoming tours that you may want to catch shows of, and I tell you about a show that I call, because it's the number one concert review podcast in the world, and I've reviewed shows from Beyonce to Kendrick Lamar to even the Backstreet Boys. So yeah, that's Catch the Show. The other show is called The Underground Monster. Slightly different kind of show, but still music related. It's where I cover basically underground independent hip-hop, horrorcore, and the juggalo culture. So yeah, if you're interested in either one, go to hyphenpodcastgroup.com and or go to your favorite podcast platform and just search for them and hit that subscribe button, okay? Got that? Cool. Now let's get you back to the show you were originally listening to.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and comment. This has been a Hyphen Podcast Network production.
They're the bestest. I'm getting paid an exposure.